is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Redemption is one of the most vivid word pictures in all of Scripture, and it tells us exactly what Jesus Christ has done for believers. What does it mean to be redeemed by God? Stay tuned to find out more as we turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And Heavenly Father, as we open and study your precious word today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would hold your word up before each of us like a mirror to show us our true spiritual condition. And if there is anyone listening today who has never experienced the redemption that is found only in Jesus Christ, I pray that that person who is in that condition would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior from sin even before this program ends. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible contains many very concise and powerful statements that describe the salvation of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we saw one of those in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that God the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. We are delivered out of the power of darkness. The power has been broken. God has picked us up and moved us into a different country, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking, we are no longer citizens of this present evil world. We are citizens of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our eternal citizenship when this world and its evils have passed from the scene. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 is a powerful statement of what happens when God saves us. And verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1, which we come to today, is another of those short, powerful statements about our salvation. And let me read it along with verse 13 to give the full thought. He, that is God the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that is our focus today, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice first of all that redemption is something that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ possesses right now. In whom, that is in Christ, we have, present tense, redemption through His blood. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone today as your Savior from sin, then you have redemption right now. This is not merely something for the future, although there is a future aspect to redemption. But we have it right now. And the wording here is definite, it's emphatic. We have redemption through His blood. It is a certain thing, no uncertainty about it. We have redemption, it is guaranteed, because it has been paid for by the blood of God the Son Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to be redeemed? The word in the original language of the New Testament means a release or a liberation that is brought about by the payment of a ransom. Let me say that again, a release or a liberation that is brought about by the payment of a ransom. This was a word that was used in several different senses. It was used in the case of a person who was a prisoner of war, someone who had been taken prisoner in a war. And a ransom was paid to get that person out of the enemy prison camp, to purchase his freedom from imprisonment by the enemy. It was also a word that was used in the case of a person who had been convicted of a crime and condemned to die for that crime. But someone would come and pay a great price to win the release and liberation of that person who had been condemned to death. And this word for redemption was also a word that was used in the case of a slave, when someone else, a family member or a friend perhaps, would pay for his release from slavery. That is how this word translated redemption was used. And those three things are pictures that precisely describe the condition of every human being who is not a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person who is born into this world is born in sin. And the Bible tells us four things about our sin problem. First of all, our sin is original. And that means that it has its roots in the first sin of the first parents of all mankind. Genesis chapter 3 tells us that God created Adam and Eve in perfection, and He gave them a commandment to obey. But of their own free will, they chose to disobey Him. And Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 through 45, tell us that because all mankind are Adam's descendants, when Adam fell into sin, all mankind fell with him. And all mankind bears Adam's guilt. So our sin, first of all, is original sin. It comes down to us through Adam. And secondly, the Bible tells us that our sin is habitual sin. Because of our inherited sin nature, we are in a state of depravity. We suffer from the loss of Adam's original righteousness, that righteousness that he had before he fell into sin. And therefore, we are sinners by habit and practice. We read of this in Romans chapter 3, in Romans chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4, and many other places. The result of original sin is that all men commit acts of sin. 1 Kings 8:46 tells us that there is no one who does not commit sin. Romans 3:22 and 23 says that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, as Adam's descendants, we commit sin in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. And we also neglect the good things that we ought to do. And we do all of that because we are sinners by nature. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And thirdly, the Bible tells us that sin is universal. We've already touched on that. Since all mankind are Adam's descendants, sin is universal. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that Adam's sin and its effects have passed on to all men, and that in the eyes of God we have all sinned in Adam, not to mention the sins that we commit ourselves. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, says this, and this is a series of quotations from the Old Testament. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then Paul says, we know that whatever the law says, and he's just told them what the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And that is exactly the position of every human being outside of Christ, guilty before God. The sin problem, the curse of sin, is universal. And fourthly, the Bible tells us that sin is systemic. It is pervasive. It permeates our natures. No part of us is unaffected. Every part of man is affected by original sin. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 2 Corinthians 4:4 both tell us that man's intellect is blinded apart from Christ. Romans 1:22 tells us that all men apart from Christ have become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians 4:19 tells us that because of this blindness, mankind is past feeling, callous concerning the things of God. And 1 Timothy 4:2 says the same thing, that every unbeliever's conscience is seared with a hot iron. The image is that an area of the body has been so badly damaged that it can't even feel pain anymore. And the Apostle Paul goes into great detail about the nature and the effects of sin. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, all the way through chapter 3, verse 20, Paul shows us that man bears the effects of sin in every part of his being. And this is the doctrine of man's total depravity. And I want to say just a brief further word about the biblical doctrine of our total depravity. And that is that Roman Catholicism denies that doctrine. It denies what the Bible has to say about the consequences of original sin. And this denial is part of Rome's system of false doctrine, which claims that man is capable of helping to save himself because he is not totally depraved, and therefore he can help to save himself from the wrath of God, Rome says. But the Roman Catholic view totally contradicts the clear teaching of the Word of God. Let me give just three brief examples in addition to those we've already seen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Ephesians 2:1. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who have been made alive in Christ as having been previously dead in trespasses and sins. This is the true picture of the human condition. Our sin problem is as desperate as it can possibly be, and we cannot save ourselves. We cannot contribute anything to our salvation. As Paul says in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, our salvation is through the kindness and the love of God our Savior. And it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. And so the word redemption in Colossians 1:14 and the pictures of redemption are the absolutely perfect description of what God has done for us. It is exactly what He has done through the blood of Christ. The prisoner of war picture is appropriate. We read this in Psalm 107, beginning at verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound, that is, prisoners, in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We were in bondage because of our rebellion. We were prisoners in the enemy camp. We could not escape. We could not purchase our own freedom. But God, through the blood of Christ, redeemed us from that bondage. He paid the ransom price. He purchased our freedom from Satan's dominion. Also, the picture of the condemned prisoner being redeemed from the death penalty, exactly describes our position. We came into this world already condemned, John 3 tells us. We are like the criminal who has been condemned to death. There is no hope. All that awaits us is for the death sentence to be carried out. But in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, we read these glorious words. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But God! But God! Things were absolutely hopeless, and we were absolutely helpless. We could not save ourselves, but God, in the riches of His mercy, loving us with exceedingly great love, comes into the world in the person of Jesus Christ and pays the ransom to buy us out of condemnation. He takes away our death sentence by bearing that death sentence Himself. That is what God required. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22 tells us, there is no remission of sins. So Jesus Christ purchased our redemption on the cross with His own blood. He freed us from the death penalty for our crimes against God. So this picture of redemption, the picture of freedom being purchased for a condemned criminal, certainly applies to every believer in Christ. And the picture of the slave is also appropriate. We were slaves to sin. Our sin is original. It is habitual. It is universal. It is pervasive. We are complete slaves to sin. We are under the bondage of it apart from Christ. But God has redeemed us from that bondage. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, that Jesus Christ came into the world and took on a body like ours, sharing in flesh and blood, so that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, that is, to slavery. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham, that is, to those who are effectually called to salvation by God. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been redeemed, and our redemption is through the blood of Christ. Redemption through His blood, Paul says here in Colossians 1:14. Now, some Bible translations omit this phrase, through His blood. If you're using the English Standard Version, the New International, the Revised Standard Version, the various Living Bible paraphrases, or the New American Standard Bible, you won't find this phrase, through His blood, in Colossians 1:14. And that is because those translations and paraphrases are based upon inferior Greek source texts. But the King James Version and the New King James Bible have that phrase, through His blood. They have it right. Redemption is through His blood. There can be no redemption without the blood of Christ. A great many evangelicals want to minimize the blood of Christ today. Evangelical preachers don't want to preach about the blood of Christ because they think it offends people. Well, the Bible tells us that the blood of Christ does offend people. The Bible speaks of the offense of the cross. Paul says in Romans 9:33 that Christ and His cross and His shed blood are a stumbling stone and a rock of offense to many. But, he says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. No true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and no faithful preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is ashamed of or offended by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me conclude today by asking two questions. First of all, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation from sin, by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works or ordinances or sacraments of any kind, then are you living in the light of your redemption? Or are you living like a prisoner of Satan? Are you still living like a condemned criminal, spiritually speaking? Are you still living life as a slave of sin? Or are you living the life of the redeemed? Are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Paul says this in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Perhaps you're listening today and you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. Perhaps you're listening today and spiritually speaking, you are still a prisoner in the devil's camp. You're still standing condemned under the death penalty before God because of your sins. Today you're still a slave to sin. Let me tell you that there is good news. Jesus Christ has paid the ransom price to redeem sinners, to free the prisoner, to wipe out the death penalty, to free the slave. And if you will believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from the power and penalty of sin right now, believe on Him. He will redeem you and set you free.
Once again, here's Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
We always count it a privilege to be of service to our listeners. If you want to know more about what it means to be redeemed by God, or about the Christian life, we're here to help you. And if you don't have a Bible, we would be glad to send you one without cost or obligation. You can call us right now, toll-free, at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. So why not give us a call right now? Also, if you would like to receive our free daily email publication, The Profitable Word, we would be glad to add you to our mailing list without cost or obligation. Each day in The Profitable Word, we answer a question from the Bible. And subscribers around the world tell us that they find these questions and answers very helpful in their Christian life. And we also want you to know that if you sign up for our email list, your personal information remains confidential with us. You can sign up for the Profitable Word Daily Email Edition by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the free publications link. Once again, that's the free publications link at teachingtheword.org, or you can call us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Also, if you miss a broadcast or you want to hear one again, you can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and listen to previous programs. You can also download a printable transcript of any previous broadcast. Or, if you prefer, you can write to us and we'll mail you an MP3 CD or printed transcript of any program. You can drop us a note at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland 21158. Or you can email us at radio@teachingtheword.org. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland 21158. And our email address is radio@teachingtheword.org. And once again, our toll-free number 24 hours a day is 888-804-9655. On our next program, we're going to learn more about the glorious doctrine of redemption as we continue our study of Colossians chapter 1. So thanks for listening, thanks for praying for us, and we hope you'll join us again at this same time next week. And until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.